Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're going to go out in some sort of TV show, then you'd like to know you're going to go out like a hero. Maybe you get a little bit of a big speech and, you know, your death really affects canon going forward. And then there's these guys. With that in mind, I'm Sean Ferrick for Who Culture, and here are 10 Doctor Who characters who died for no reason. Number 10, Lucy Saxon, The End of Time. The grand finale to the Tennant era begins with the Master being brought back to life by his disciples, but his return is very nearly halted by his former wife, Lucy Saxon, who attempts to undo his resurrection by hitting him with a death potion. This creates a huge explosion that destroys Lucy in the process, and to make things even worse, this supposedly powerful potion ends up doing absolutely nothing. It's the very definition of a pointless death, because Lucy ends up dying for no real reason. Not only does the Master survive her attack, he even goes on to enact his evil plan, and what's more, Lucy's name is never mentioned again. Hell, all the potion actually does is dye his hair blonde and make him a little bit crazier than usual. Step back and look at the End of Time as a whole, and Lucy's death is completely irrelevant to the plot. The Master would still come back with or without her intervention, and the new abilities he gains from the death potion could easily be removed from the story without affecting much. Lucy wanted revenge, but her death ultimately ends up feeling rather hollow. Number 9, Alea, Cold Blood. Series 5's The Hungry Earth, Cold Blood is a decent story from current showrunner Chris Chibnall. It's full of high points, like the Silurians and the humans arguing over ownership of the planet Earth, but it also contains examples of Chibnall's worst writing habits, from extreme contrivances to ridiculously dumb characters. At one point, early in the second episode, both of those things combine to create one of the most frustrating deaths in modern Who, that of Alea, a Silurian warrior. When Alea's people take several humans hostage, the Doctor decides to capture her, holding her hostage in return. The Doctor then sets off to Silurian base camp in order to arrange for the safe exchange of hostages. Before he departs, he implores his human allies, Rory, Ambrose, and Tony Mac, to keep Alea safe. Simple enough, you might think. Alea is chained up in the basement, and she isn't going anywhere. All the humans have to do is leave her alone. At this point, though, Chibnall comes in with one of those aforementioned dumb character contrivance super-duper combos, with Ambrose pulling a bizarre move and actually deciding to shoot Alea, destroying the Doctor's only bargaining chip. What makes this particularly silly is that Ambrose's son and husband were among the captured humans. To get them back, all she had to do was, you know, not kill the Silurian hostage, but she couldn't even manage that simple task. Number 8, the Acid Bath Guards, Vengeance on Varus. An infamous example of the Sixth Doctor's more brash attitude towards the universe occurs in 1985's Vengeance on Varus, where he accidentally murders two unsuspecting guards by sending them into an acid bath. This happens when the Doctor collapses, gets captured, and is then taken to this acid bath area for disposal. Here, the two guards, who believe the Doctor is dead, turn their backs on him, at which point the Doctor stands up and taps one guard on the shoulder, creating a scuffle which culminates in their grisly deaths. Over the years, people have attempted to defend the Doctor's actions here, but the fact is, he could have avoided this bloodshed by simply leaving the room where the guards weren't looking at him. Surely he knows that jump-scaring two men who were leaning over a pool of bubbling acid is a really bad idea, and surprise, it is. These poor guys were just trying to earn a living to feed their families, but instead, they got melted down into sludge because the Doctor didn't think things through. Number 7, The Bus Driver, Planet of the Dead. 2009 Easter adventure Planet of the Dead takes place on the baking hot desert planet of San Helios, where the 10th Doctor has unwittingly trapped not just himself, but an entire bus full of human civilians. The only way to escape this barren hellhole hole is via a nearby portal, which sounds quite convenient. On the downside, though, anyone who walks through it will be stripped down to a skeleton in a matter of seconds, which is exactly what happens to the poor old bus driver, who lunges through it without a care in the world. Now, sure, he was a bit of an idiot for not listening to the doctor's warning about the portal, but some of the blame for his easily preventable death can also be levelled at the doctor himself. The driver is clearly eager to return home, and the doctor is obviously smart enough to sense what he's about to do. So, how does this mighty, intelligent Time Lord respond? He half-heartedly holds out a single arm. Come on, Doctor, you can see this guy's about to walk into a fiery portal of death, so why not put in a little more effort? Why not rugby tackle him to the ground? The sand would cushion your landing. Number 6. Dorian Maldivar, a good man goes to war. Even though Dorian Maldivar's big blue bald head did return a couple of episodes later, he technically died in Season 6's A Good Man Goes to War, and in a really stupid way. While preparing to battle the headless monks in order to defend Amy Pond and her newborn child, Dorian, with an extremely worried tone of voice, notices that the monks are singing their attack prayer. Basically, they're in hostile mode, and these guys don't take prisoners. But then, a few moments later, Dorian appears to lose all the smarts and wit that we've been led to believe he had. Instead of fleeing, picking up a weapon, or standing with his allies, he decides to walk straight towards the monks, hoping that they'll leave him alone. Why? Because they once conducted business together. Facepalm. Considering that, again, it was Dorian himself who noticed the attack prayer in the first place, this is a really flimsy reason to walk towards a group of angry, lightsaber saber-wielding aliens, and, sure enough, Dorian's stupidity is rewarded when one of the monks chops off his head. Number 5. The Defenseless Ogron, Day of the Daleks. Remember how the Doctor supposedly hates using guns? Well, turns out the Time Lord is quite flexible on that standpoint. For reference, just look at the 1972 serial Day of the Daleks, where the Third Doctor has no problems with picking up a gun and blasting aliens to death, in some cases, aliens who don't even pose a threat to him. At the very end of the second episode, the Doctor is attacked by the Ogrons, mindless goons that are lacking in the intelligence department. One of these creatures bursts into the room, but the Doctor stops it by using his Venusian karate skills to steal its weapon, ending the fight before it can even begin. Well, scratch that, because the Doctor then decides to ramp up the fight by blasting the defenseless Ogron with its own weapon, vaporizing it in an instant. He could have left it alone or used his melee skills to knock it unconscious, but nope, the hapless alien just had to die. The Doctor then continues his rampage by running outside and shooting a second Ogron, although to be fair, that one was shooting back. Number 4. Sarah Kingdom, The Daleks' Master Plan. Partially missing First Doctor serial, The Daleks' Master Plan features the death of short-term companion Sarah Kingdom. And while it's certainly a horrific, memorable demise, it only happens because she doesn't listen to a basic instruction given by the Doctor, making the outcome feel highly frustrating. In the final episode, the Doctor activates the Time Destructor, a super weapon that can drastically increase the flow of time. While doing so, he implores his companions Stephen and Sarah to head back into the TARDIS out of the Time Destructor's reach. Stephen obliges, but Sarah instead decides to double back and help the Doctor, an act which seals her death. The Time Destructor ages her up significantly, making her frail and weak before she finally turns into a pile of dust. Sarah's intentions were noble, sure, but the Doctor didn't even need her help, and as such, it felt like the serial had to dumb her down a little to make her go back for him, creating a weak excuse to kill her off. Interestingly, there might even be some truth to this assessment. Sarah was intended as a one-and-done companion, so her death had to happen no matter what, and this was clearly deemed the best way to do it. Number 3. Father Octavian, Flesh and Stone. Father Octavian and his group of clerics helped the 11th Doctor track down an escaped Weeping Angel in Series 5's The Time of Angels, Flesh and Stone, a difficult mission that would turn out to be his last. Octavian is actually the last B character to be killed off in the story, surviving all the way up to the final stages of the second episode. What's more, he comes within a few teeny footsteps of a potential escape route, but just when it looks like he's about to make it out, an angel sneaks up and grabs him in a fatal headlock. Not to point fingers or anything, but this is another death that the Doctor could have easily prevented. The hatch to that aforementioned escape route, the Byzantium's primary flight deck, has been open for a solid minute, and River Song has already crawled through. All the Doctor and Octavian had to do was follow her, but instead, the Doctor gets lost in his own thoughts, stands there, and rambles about the flow of time. Octavian, well aware of the stone assassins lurking nearby, insists that they leave, but the Doctor's lack of urgency costs him his life when the angel strikes. This one stings extra hard because of how awesome a character Octavian is. He's tough and stern, but he's also cool and likeable. A tricky balance that actor Ian Glen, who, of course, many will recognise from Game of Thrones, absolutely nails. It's a massive shame that his Hooniverse stint was cut short in such a needless fashion. Number 2, Adric, Earthshock. After the season 12 episode Praxeus aired in 2020, Adric's death became a huge topic of debate in Whovian circles. In that episode, the 13th Doctor rescues a man from a crashing ship by materializing the TARDIS around him. This was a similar scenario to the one that Adric faced in 1982's Earthshock, only, in that case, his ship blew up, and the Doctor didn't even try to save him. For years, fans have wondered why the 5th Doctor couldn't rescue his doomed companion by materialising the TARDIS around him, and Praxeus brought that question to the forefront by demonstrating that, yes, that would have been possible. To play devil's advocate, though, the serial does offer an explanation for why the 5th Doctor didn't act. In the closing moments, he mentions that the TARDIS console had been damaged, and thus, he can't pilot it to Adric's side. However, looking back, this excuse is rather flimsy. The TARDIS gets damaged all the time, and its performance never seems to be affected. It's also a throwaway line, and many viewers don't catch it, which explains the Praxeus outrage. So, it's understandable why some fans maintain the belief that Adric's death would have been easy to prevent. Number 1. Charlie Duffy, Kerblam. Series 11's Kerblam is a solid episode that completely loses the plot in its final stretch. At first, it seems to be a condemnation of the way that big corporations treat their ground-level workers. Kerblam is an Amazon-like company that has replaced most of its human employees with robotic counterparts, but in a late-game twist, we learn that one of those ground-level workers is actually the bad guy. This worker is Charlie Duffy, who has grown deeply frustrated with Kerblam's over-reliance on machines. In response, he plans to detonate an army of delivery bots in civilian homes, killing thousands of innocents and making it seem as though the machines are to blame, creating more jobs for humans as a result. Though Kerblam was clearly supposed to be an anti-corporate piece, turning Charlie into a terrorist totally confuses the episode's messaging, an issue that only worsens when writer Pete Mattei decides to kill him off in a hilarious, stupid way. When the Doctor reprograms the delivery bots to remain in their current positions, Charlie tries to escape by running into the middle of the fleet. On the plus side, though, he has tons of time to escape before the explosions go off, but instead, he decides to stand there, and stand there, and stand there, for no apparent reason. Bizarrely, the Doctor then just teleports away and leaves him to die, not seeming all too bothered about resigning this troubled young lad to his undeserved fate. Not only did Charlie's death lack purpose within the story, it was executed in a forehead-slapping manner. It's easily one of the stupidest Doctor Who deaths in recent years.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.